I want to thank the band for their efforts today. Thank you so much. Taryn is away. I'll not make any jokes about them being all men. I could do some of that, but we're grateful for you today. And Taryn is away. When we first brought Taryn on board, there were two or three dates, I think two, today and then Easter Sunday, that she had to be away because she teaches at a large Catholic school in St. Petersburg. And she's doing all their sunrise Easter services at that Catholic church, and which is outdoors. And so those are the days she'll be away from us. And so we look forward to her continuing to come on board with us and helping us with this service. The second thing I wanted to mention is the projector. Drew reminded me about this. Before the service started today, the projector was turned on. It's there. And it went off, and so you may see it have some troubles. We have three different companies that have now provided us bids. We don't need any more bids, and we'll be making a decision soon about replacing it. The screen will be replaced with a new screen, and the soundboard has to be updated. It's 13 years old. As you know, with technology, if it's that old, it's time. And so you'll see that. We don't know exactly when. My guess is it'll be a month to 6 weeks. But all to say, if the projector goes off, that's because it's a tired projector. It has been serviced. So that being said, if I had to call the sermon today, had to name it something, it would be a sermon for Lent. I didn't get a chance to do a whole lot of that last Sunday on the Kirken of the Tartan Sunday. But we are in the season of Lent. And our key understanding about the season of Lent, this 40-day journey to Easter and preparing for the death, the crucifixion, the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is to understand that living, dying, and rising again is part of our experience as Christians. It's the way we were created. It's the way God's plan has worked out for us to be redeemed. And so living, dying, and rising again is part of our experience as Christians. Now, this new life that we are embracing as Christians, as we embrace the Spirit of Christ, is a life that daily should surrender to the old life, seeking not to sin, not to do wrong, but to do what is right. And so Lent is a process of letting go of the present order of things and embracing a new order, a new humanity that we are given in Jesus Christ and Christ's Spirit. We can strive during the season of Lent to restrain from sin, but if we try only in our own strength, our striving will always be losing. That's a line that comes out of the hymn, "A Mighty Fortress Is Our God." The last stanza in that particular hymn gives us hope. It says, although this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God has willed His truth to triumph through us. And so the Apostle Paul, as we come to this reading in Romans, he knew about that inner struggle, the letting go of the old order, letting go of the old self, and embracing the Spirit of Christ within us, these two natures. And that's the title for the sermon this morning. It's straightforward, our two natures, a Lenten sermon. So the first is from Romans chapter 7, verses 14 to 25. I encourage you to follow it closely. It's a little tricky. Paul is describing here this battle between his two natures, which is part of our human condition. Verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am of the flesh, sold into slavery under sin. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now, if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law of the mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members, in my person. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with my mind, I am a slave to the law of God, but with my flesh, I am a slave to the law of sin. And then we turn in Mark's Gospel, chapter 8. This is the lectionary reading for today, beginning at verse 31. Here Mark tells us of this new reality. The old order gone, the new reality is among us. And he tells the disciples what he will face. The new life he tells them about comes through his death. And here Jesus foretells his death and resurrection, and there is a protest by the disciples that runs for a couple of chapters, but especially here with Peter protesting this particular vision, this statement that Jesus makes. Verse 31, then he, that is Jesus, began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all this quite openly, and Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." In other words, the present order. He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. Let's pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord our God, we give you thanks for this beautiful day that you have given us for this time together in worship. Lord, we are so grateful, for we are so blessed. There are people that gather and huddle together in places around the world that do not enjoy the beauty and the peace, the democracy, the things that we enjoy every day. And so we pray for them, and we pray that you would speak to them and us this morning, wherever we may be, wherever people may be, that you would speak your word to us in this season of Lent, as we struggle with these two natures within us. In Christ's name, speak to us today. Amen. I want to begin with a little fun. I know that you know Murphy's Law. If anything can go wrong, it will. There are 1,000 variations of Murphy's Law, such as this one. Some people may not have heard of this one. The buttered toast law. Have you heard of the buttered toast law? The buttered toast law goes like this. Buttered toast, when falling to the floor, will always fall face down, butter side down. Likely that has happened to you at one time or another with something like that. The buttered toast law. It seems that one day in particular, in a particular house in Safety Harbor, the toast fell to the floor, and to the amazement of the family in that home, it landed butter side up. Immediately, scientists were called to that home to analyze this. Did this really refute Murphy's Law, which says that buttered toast, when it falls to the floor, will always fall buttered side down? Well, the scientists in this particular case, they secured the kitchen. They told everybody not to touch anything. They took pictures. They brought in all kind of fancy scientific instruments. They weighed and analyzed everything. And finally, they reached a conclusion. The conclusion was that Murphy's Law was intact. The problem was the woman had simply buttered the toast on the wrong side. And my wife, Joyce, she didn't think you would get that, but you got it. Thank you. You proved me right yet again at home. But you see, we love laws. We like things to go well. Matter of fact, I would argue we like things to go perfectly. Perfection and laws give us the assurance of an orderly universe. Oh, we like order. We do. We like it when there is consistency and when there is order and when there is predictability. If the bread, you see, always falls buttered side down, that's okay because that's predictable. We know what to expect from life. We're not going to always get our hopes up. Life is just often a lot easier that way when there is predictability about it. Life is more comfortable. I know you'll agree with this. Life is more comfortable when there are no surprises. I like to live like that when I can. But here's another law to consider this morning. It is not as well known as Murphy's Law. It's a law of logic. It's called the law of the excluded middle. Aristotle, the ancient Greek philosopher, he invented this particular law, this axiom, if you will, and the students of logic have followed and memorized it for thousands of years. It says, A cannot be both A and B at the same time. The excluded middle. That is to say, something cannot be hot or cold at the same time. Something can't be true and false at the same time. You can't be enslaved and free at the same time. That's called the law of the excluded middle. A cannot be both A and B at the same time. The only problem to that is that it can be. Now, there are many examples of I could give you this morning, if I had time, of some of especially the scientific ways that have been discovered where A and B can be A and B at the same time. Both can be true. But here's the takeaway for us this morning. You and I are two things at the same time. I told you it'd be a Lenten sermon. We are both good and we are both bad. We are both with our families and in the community, the world in which we live. We are both sinner and we can be at times saints. Which is why human beings are always full of surprises. Have you noticed that? The news will always have a story about somebody who is a good citizen or someone who does something terrible reported. Something terrible that's even shocking. I could give you some examples this past week, but you listen to the news, you know them. Sometimes people will comment when people do something so terrible, will say, how can people do things like that? That's because of these two natures, Paul would argue with us. But it also happens the other way too, and we tend to forget this. Someone that we write off as being no good, they can turn out to be a hero. They can turn out to be a good citizen and do a good deed. Unfortunately, this is often not considered newsworthy, and so we don't hear about this kind of thing often. But it does happen. It happens quite often, in fact. I'm still thinking this morning about our Scottish heritage as Presbyterians from last Sunday and the Kirkin of the Tartan Sunday. Wasn't that a wonderful service? It was a wonderful service. And thinking about Scottish people, it led me to thinking again for this season of Lent about Robert Louis Stevenson. I mentioned him last week. He wrote a little novel, a little story about an upstanding physician named Dr. Jekyll. Do you remember that story? And Dr. Jekyll conducted an experiment, and he had a potion. And that experiment backfired on Dr. Jekyll. What it did was that potion released his evil self within him. Dr. Jekyll temporarily became the hideous Mr. Hyde and quickly when he saw in the mirror his devilish self, he changed back to his respectable self. However, to his terror, as time went on, the potion caused him to become worse, and he could not control the evil within him. The story became, in many people's mind, kind of an image, a picture of human life, human existence, the struggle that is within us. And Stevenson's novel also struck a somber chord of truth. But he wasn't the first to do this. Long before, the Apostle Paul confessed to this kind of battle that's waging within us. We just read it from the letter to Romans. Paul wrote it this way: "I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I can't. I do what I do not want to do, and I hate it." He goes on to say in so many words, "I love to do God's will so far as my new nature in Christ is concerned, but there is something else deep within me in my lower nature that makes me a slave to the sin that is within me." Anybody struggle with that? I think we all know that battle. And the trouble is we can get a sense of helplessness about it. The author Fritz Reidenauer, he wrote a little book entitled How to Be a Christian Without Being Perfect. I love that title. And he writes for us this in here to consider giving up something in our season of Lent or trying to control something within us. He says, "What's your problem?" says Reidenauer. "Temper? Impatience? Self-control? Being honest? Pride? Self-centeredness? Laziness?" He goes on to write, "Everybody has skeletons, but they don't always stay in the closet. You want to do the right, but you're pulled to do the wrong." And then he finishes this way. He writes, "You could almost swear that you were a split personality." Has anybody ever felt that way? It kind of strikes me as an accurate portrayal of the human condition, doesn't it? And so what does our faith say about all this? What does our faith say about the struggle within us and this feeling of helplessness that we have to succumb to the evil? What does it say? What's our hope? Well, first, note with me, this is what our faith says. Our faith says, be humble. Be humble, as Paul was in these words, be humble in realizing that we are a curious mix as human beings. We are a mix of saint and sinner, split personality. I wouldn't go so far to say Jekyll and Hyde, but for some people, perhaps. I like what John Ortberg did. He entitled one of his books this way that kind of gets to the point for me. He wrote one of his books. The title was, "Everybody's Normal Until You Get to Know Them." Perhaps we as Americans, more than others, understand this. Have you noticed how we love to bring political leaders down? It happens all the time. We're just in another cycle of it just now. We are lately watching our presidential political process at work, and I'm not going to get into it, but we see it working or not working well again and again and again, and this true for almost any election. The candidates, well-intentioned as they may be, finally drift almost always into negative tactics, and they have millions of dollars to support these negative tactics and negative ads. And so that's why I think our first point is to simply humbly confessing during this season of Lent and understanding our lower nature that dwells within us. And at least that should keep us from being arrogant or prideful. Be humble. There are two natures that dwell within us. The poet put it this way, and I love this: "There is so much good in the worst of us, and there is so much bad in the best of us, that it behooves any of us to criticize the rest of us." I know that there needs to be justice. There needs to be creative criticism in discussions. However, we also need to temper our discussions with justice and mercy and humility. After all, we have all met the Mr. or Mrs. Hyde within us. So be humble during this season of Lent. Understand we are God's created beings, and there are two natures that dwell within us. Read Romans 7 again. Here's the second thought. I think our faith says there is no sin in meeting up with Mr. and Mrs. Hyde and confronting them. You just don't invite them to stay for dinner. In other words, none of us can always control our baser instincts. It seems so natural to envy others, to hate enemies, and there's no sin really in temptation, is there? It will always be that we have the devil on one shoulder. You remember that image from movies? The sin, you see, is encouraging evil thoughts. The sin is seeking them out and acting upon them every time. And finally, trying to sell the idea that they're not really hurtful to others, because they are. No one can always control sudden feelings, even very negative ones. And you've seen that in families and relationships. But we also don't have to affirm that. I believe it was Martin Luther, the church reformer, who said, "We can't control evil thoughts which come to us like birds in flight. But we also don't have to let them nest in our hair." I think that's a good point. And then finally, the last thought for today is, I think our faith says, don't give up the battle that's within you. And more importantly, try to bring the Spirit of Christ onto your side in that battle. You can't go it alone. If we in our own selves confide, our striving will be losing. The Apostle Paul wrote it this way, "Wretched person that I am, who can rescue me?" And then notice in chapter 7 how he answers his own question. The next verse he writes, "Thanks be to God for the victory through Jesus Christ our Lord." Just like that he says it. Who can rescue me? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ. And I think that sounds somewhat simplistic, but I think the importance of that simplicity is understanding that we need to make, especially during this season of Lent, as we prepare for the death, the crucifixion, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, is to invite the Spirit of Jesus within you each and every day when you wake up. And that is not simplistic. That is simply where the power comes. Only Christ can make us sane. Only Christ can make the wrongness right. None of us can be perfect, but with His help, we can always get back on our feet and overcome the return of Mr. and Mrs. Hyde. And so this morning, the sermon ends this way. Embrace the Spirit of Christ in this season of Lent over against whatever seeks to own you, and embrace Christ in whatever seeks to possess you. And if you do that, you can overcome that lower self. In Christ's name, let us pray. O Lord our God, we thank you for this journey through Lent. As we reflect on the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ and how our Christian experience is that of living and dying and rising again, O Lord, we claim that promise. Keep us mindful of it and the needs of others. In Christ's name, amen.